Okay. And were you Dr. Means' supervisor?
Yes.
Okay. And did you review her autopsy after she completed it, within days?
No.
When was the first time that you reviewed Dr. Means' autopsy report?
Recently, when the case was going to trial.
Okay. And you were contacted by the state, correct?
That is correct.
And they asked you to be an expert witness for trial, correct?
That is correct.
And I would assume you're being paid for your testimony?
No, I do not get paid for testimony. It's part of my regular duties.
Okay. Very good. Have you spoken with Dr. Means since you have been retained by the state to give an opinion?
No.
Have you spoken to Dr. Means about this case in any way?
No.
Do you know why Dr. Means is not testifying?
I was told the state's attorney couldn't reach Dr. Means, and they requested one of the doctors in the office to testify.
You've reviewed her autopsy, correct?
Yes.
And you would agree with me that your review is based upon the thoroughness of the autopsy and how it was performed and reported by the person that was conducting it, correct?
I reviewed the autopsy report, the photographs, and the radiographs that were taken, and the toxicology reports.
My question is a little bit more specific, though. You would agree with me that you are relying on your testimony and your opinion is based in part on the thoroughness and completeness of the investigation conducted by the medical examiner.
Yes.
Okay. And do you have any opinions as you sit here today about the thoroughness and completeness of the autopsy that was performed in this case?
No, I do not see any discrepancies.
Okay. You said any discrepancy. Is there anything that you would have done differently if you were performing this autopsy?
I meant any differences between the autopsy report she authored and the photographs and radiographs that were present on the case.
Okay. What I want to know is, do you have any opinion about the thoroughness and completeness of the autopsy conducted by Dr. Means?
No, I do not.
So you believe that she conducted it properly, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you would agree with me that you're familiar with what the organization that is the National Association of Medical Examiners?
Yes.
Okay. And you would agree that the National Association of Medical Examiners require that certain procedures be completed in an autopsy if possible?
Yes.
Okay. And in one of the areas in which they demand completion, if possible, is to shave the head, if there's hair on the head, to shave the head around the wound. You would agree with me that that is a recommended procedure, correct?
If it helps document the injury better, then it's recommended to shave the head, yes.
And you would agree with me that if there is hair in the area of a wound, that makes it a little bit more difficult to properly document the wound, correct?
It depends on what the wound is. If there were tears or if there's such a stippling, then shaving the hair would show the wound better.
Okay. And shaving the wound would show the wound better regardless, aside from what you just spoke of, correct?
Yes, it would.
It would provide a better analysis, correct?
For the suture stippling, if present, yes.
In a more accurate analysis, correct?
It would show it better because the hair is not obstructing view.
And you would have done that in this case, correct?
I the autopsy report shows that there were no skin tags to show direction of the wound, and there was no suture stippling. Again, it's hindsight, and if there were so many wounds, and this wound on the head did not show any suture stippling, I cannot say what I would do.
Okay. You would agree with me that the wound on the head, that the hair around that wound, that was not shaved in this case, correct?
That is correct.
And that caused some limitations for you to opine on the matter, correct?
If there was a question of whether there was suture stippling present, then yes, I may not be able to state so.
Okay. And you talked about how Dr. Means conducted the external autopsy, correct?
Yes, the external examination.
And then you talked, I'm sorry, that's a better way to put it, but you talked about her internal examination, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And is it your opinion that Dr. Means did everything she was required to do for the internal examination?
Yes.
Okay. Well, again, going back to the National Association of Medical Examiners, isn't it true that they require that the internal organs have to be photographed?
It is not a requirement, it's a recommendation. The external injuries need to be documented because it helps sometimes document where in this case for gunshot wounds, where the shooter may be or where, in what position the subject would have been.
But it's important to document the internal organs, you would agree, via photograph, correct?
It is not required, but for example, in child abuse cases, documentation is important when it comes to court.
How about in gunshot cases? Is documentation and photographing the internal organs, is that important as well?
It is useful, but not a requirement. Most of the cases where autopsies are done on gunshot wounds, many times internal pictures are not taken. Some of the doctors, where they reflect the chest plate and take an overview picture and without taking pictures of each organ.
And it's also mandated that sections of all the major organs should be preserved in formula after completion of the autopsy, correct?
Yes, it depends on how long these sections are kept. In our office, we keep these sections for a year.
And no sections were kept in this case, correct?
No histology sections were taken. I'm not sure if stock tissue was retained. We normally do that on all our cases, and which is retained for 1 year. After that, it's discarded and biohazard-based.
So assuming that either no sections of the organs were taken or they were discarded after that 1 year, that affected your ability to properly analyze this case, correct?
There was no need to look at the sections under the microscope. There were multiple gunshot wounds that caused injuries. If there was a case where the histology would help with determining cause and manner, the doctors do take histology sections.
And you said multiple gunshot wounds. You would agree with me that it's standard protocol in your industry when there's cases where there are multiple gunshot wounds that the cause of death is listed as multiple gunshot wounds.
When the gunshot wounds caused or contributed to death and there's more than one gunshot wound, they are listed as multiple gunshot wounds.
But you would agree with me that you've certainly conducted autopsies with multiple gunshot wounds, correct?
Yes.
And in all of those cases, have you listed the cause of death as multiple gunshot wounds?
Yes.
Okay. And they also recommend, the National Association of Medical Examiners, they recommend that the examiner go to the scene of where the incident took place.
So scenes visits are based on office policies, and in our office we have certain standards for scene examination.
And there was no scene examination here, correct?
In this case, the patient was taken to the hospital and was pronounced at the hospital, so there was no scene to go to.
Well, there was still a scene. I mean, 41st and Pulaski still existed, correct?
Correct, but it was no longer an intact scene. if the patient was pronounced at the scene, then our investigators would go to the scene.
And that's the only time that investigators go to the scene is when they're pronounced at the scene?
For a case of multiple gunshot wounds.
How about police-involved shootings? Isn't it the policy of the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office that investigators go to the scene of the shooting?
Yes.
And that was not done in this case, correct?
Because the patient died at the hospital.
I understand, but isn't there valuable information that can be obtained from an examiner that goes to the scene?
If it is needed for determining cause and manner of death, the investigators or the doctor would go to the scene after the death. In this instance, there was multiple gunshot wounds. The scene was no longer intact, and an investigator was not sent to the scene.
So if I understand you correctly, since there was multiple gunshot wounds, it was just easier to declare death by multiple gunshot wounds?
No, the patient died at a hospital, and that is why the scene examination was not performed.
Okay, you said he died at a hospital. We have evidence in this case that he actually died on the scene. Were you aware of that fact? Were you aware of the fact that Laquan McDonald had zero pulse and zero respiratory statistics, vitals, at the point at which he was transported in the ambulance?
Objective foundation to what point, Judge?
Any point?
Clarify it, just here.
Are you aware of the fact that Laquan McDonald essentially died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital?
As you said, there was no pulse when he was admitted to the hospital, but they did perform surgeries and procedures to try to resuscitate him.
Okay, but my question is a little bit more specific, though. Are you aware of the fact that he died in the ambulance before getting to the hospital?
He was pronounced at the hospital in the ER, so that would be the time and location of pronouncement of death.
So as you sit here today, you don't know what his condition was from the the scene in the ambulance to the hospital, correct?
Could you repeat that question?
My best. Fair to say that you don't know what Laquan McDonald's condition was when he was transported in the ambulance?
Correct. He was transported to the hospital where they tried to revive him and then were not able to do so and pronounced him in the ER at the hospital.
But wouldn't that be important to your analysis if Laquan McDonald died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital some 10 minutes before he even got to the hospital? Wouldn't that be an important factor in your opinion regarding the cause of death?
The time of death is the time when death is pronounced. And in this instance, the time of pronouncement was at the ER in the hospital, not in the ambulance.
I'm sorry. But you would agree with me that the time that death was announced is not, and certainly not in this case, is not the time that the individual actually died, correct?
Could you repeat that?
Laquan McDonald died in the ambulance. Your testimony is that you went on the time that the hospital pronounced him dead. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is when the person is declared dead.
Well, isn't part of your analysis to determine how quickly this person died after they were shot?
I do have time and the with regard to pulse and blood pressure, we have that documentation.
But you don't have the documentation from the ambulance, correct?
Apart from initially they had a pulse and a blood pressure, I cannot relate to more than what I see.
Okay.
Or no.
Okay, thank you. There was a toxicology conducted in this case, correct?
Correct.
And that toxicology tested for cocaine and various other substances, and it came back negative, correct?
The initial toxicology report, correct.
You would agree with me that the National Association of Medical Examiners demands that toxicology be done in appropriate cases, and they clarify it as a comprehensive toxicology. Have you heard that phrase before?
Toxicology is recommended where the toxicology findings are needed for cause and manner of death.
Okay. And in this case, Laquan McDonald was on psychotropic medication, correct?
That was not something we were aware of at the time of autopsy.
But you're aware of it now, correct?
Correct.
And his toxicology was not tested for the presence of psychotropic medication on October 21st, 2014, correct?
Yes, a basic toxicology test was performed on Laquan McDonald at the time of his death.
And you talked about, and there was a subsequent test done, and that found that he was not on his psychotropic medication, correct?
Correct.
And you found out that he was on PCP, correct?
Correct.
And you talked about PCP and your expertise as a medical doctor, that it causes hallucinations at the levels in which Laquan McDonald was tested at.
Yes, it can produce hallucinations.
And aggressiveness, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you would agree with me that those effects from PCP, those certainly could be aggravated by somebody's not taking psychotropic medication.
I'm not a clinician, don't practice clinical medicine, and I'm not able to talk about effects when medication is not taken.
Okay, fair enough. In preparation for your opinion for the government in this case, you reviewed Dr. Keyes's report, correct?
Yes.
And Dr. Keyes is an expert that has been hired by the defense that will testify later in this trial, correct?
Okay.
If you know. You know Dr. Keyes, correct?
Yes.
She was the chief medical officer at Cook County, the morgue, at one point?
No.
Did you ever work for Dr. Keyes?
No.
Okay. Did you ever work with Dr. Keyes?
Not as a forensic pathologist. As a pathology resident at Cook County Hospital, I did work with her.
Okay. And you also reviewed Dr. Michalski's summary of this case?
Yes.
And you disclosed to us, you gave us a disclosure that listed all the material that you reviewed prior to giving your opinion. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you would agree with me that you didn't list in there that you reviewed Dr. Michalski's report.
It was Dr. Mazikowski. I did review his report. And
okay. So is that just an error, not including it in the disclosure?
I think it was mentioned as to do I know him and who he is. He is the director of the Armed Forces Medical Examiner System.
Okay. And Dr. Keyes gave an extensive opinion, but I'm going to shorten it and tell me if you agree. Dr. Keyes essentially said that gunshot wound number 4 killed Laquan McDonald. Agree?
I read the report. I don't remember it verbatim.
Do you remember gunshot wound number 4?
Yes.
And describe to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what gunshot wound number 4, what injuries were noted.
Gunshot wound number 4 involved the right chest, then went through the right lung, and then went through the back, and a bullet was recovered.
Okay. And you would agree that that was a significant injury from gunshot wound number 4, correct?
Yes.
And you would agree that gunshot wounds to the right side of the heart are more rapidly fatal than those to the left side of the heart?
This gunshot wound did not involve the heart.
Okay. It involved the pulmonary artery, correct?
It involved the upper and middle lobes of the right lung, and possibly the pulmonary artery there.
Possibly, you don't know, as you sit here today, whether it caused any injury to the pulmonary artery?
There are documents that say that the pulmonary artery was involved. Dr. Means reviewed the, did the autopsy, the surgery performed on the patient already.
Okay, and a wound to the pulmonary artery is, you would agree, rapidly fatal, correct?
It is a serious condition and can be fatal.
Well, more than that, it's it can be rapidly fatal. That's a term used in your field, correct?
It can be rapidly fatal.
And in fact, Dr. Machowski, you're aware of the fact that the state retained him as an expert, correct?
I do see a report.
No, listen, come on. I want a sidebar here right now. Come on.
The judge calls the attorneys for sidebar during this questioning of the medical examiner and her conclusions based on the autopsy of Laquan McDonald. Obviously, the defense is hammering away at several points. Time of death, as we tried to clarify earlier at the top of the trial today, the prosecution is looking to say that Laquan McDonald was still alive in the ambulance all the way to the hospital. That's what they're trying to set up, whether the jurors believe that or not, based on earlier testimony. And the defense had been trying to show that it appeared on the scene that Laquan McDonald was already dead, and that is why the reasoning for why the police dash cam video showed officers just standing around rather than trying to help McDonald after he'd been shot once he was on the ground. Prosecution sort of painting a case of police just dismissed a young black teen, and it was a racial profiling sort of thing. He was up to no good, knife wielding. The defense is still trying to move there, and also now with the toxicology test, just trying to show that there were different variations here, that the jury might in some way see this ultimately from the viewpoint of Officer Van Dyke, who's on trial for Laquan McDonald's murder. It's a fascinating case because going in, many thought this was just a slam dunk. There is, in terms of the prosecution, because there's police dash cam video of that fateful night, October 20th of 2014, so coming up on 4 years ago. There is that dash cam video of the officers on the scene, Laquan McDonald just weaving back and forth. He has a knife, we understand, and then at some point, while other officers are standing around, as we've heard during testimony, waiting for a taser to arrive on scene, Officer Van Dyke fires 16 times. But the defense has been poking some holes into the idea that this was just some kind of racial profiling shooting, that from Van Dyke's point of view, this was about protecting others from a knife-wielding teen. Let's listen as they continue.
Correct.
And you would agree with me that Dr. Murkowski determined that gunshot wound number 4 was rapidly fatal, correct? As you sit here today...
Well, let him take a look at it, please. Come on.
What he says. He says.
Actually, I'm asking you. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Yes, Doctor, he asked the question. Once you reviewed the notes, which both sides agree you could, then if you're capable of answering, let us know, but don't be reading unless I request you to read, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Other question?
Yes.
You would agree with me that after reviewing Dr. Machowski's report, Dr. Machowski opined that gunshot wound number 4 was rapidly fatal, correct?
He says the gunshot wound to the right chest resulted in bleeding into the right chest cavity and difficulty with breathing, and says the cause of death is multiple gunshot wounds.
Well, then you're not reading the right part.
Well, then, Mr. Herbert, point okay. The right part out.
So, as you said today, you don't know if he said it correctly. Is that your testimony? Or did you avoid that portion?
No.
Excuse me. All right. Whoever's examining the doctor is the one that objects, all right? And I told you all that before. I'm sorry, you did?
Okay. That was my objection.
Okay. But let's get this straight. Just give the doctor a chance to take a look at it.
as soon as you see in there that Dr. McCarthy...
Well, the other thing is, why don't you point out in the report where it's at so we expedite things a little bit. Then very small,
he says, point out to be without medical care. When he's on the ground, he is on his right side. So it'd be hard for him to receive that wound when he's on that ground, on the ground.
Well, it'd be more than hard, wouldn't it? Especially if somebody's 12 to 15 feet away and they're standing up and somebody's on the ground. It would be impossible for, based upon your review, it would be impossible that gunshot four, wound number four, occurred when Laquan McDonald was on the ground, correct?
It is highly unlikely, yes.
Okay. And same answer with respect to gunshot wound number two. It would be impossible if gunshot wound number two occurred when Laquan McDonald was on the ground.
He is on the ground on his right side. The wound referred to as gunshot wound number two is on the left base of the neck.
Okay. So you would agree with me that it's impossible. You know what the position of travel was? It went from right to left, gunshot wound number two, correct?
Gunshot wound number two, I'm just going to check that. So it entered the left base of the neck, and then the bullet was recovered in the right supraspinatus muscle. So the track was left to right.
Okay. So if somebody were standing over somebody and shot, that injury could be caused when a person was laying on the ground, correct?
Correct.
In this case, that didn't happen, correct?
Yes.
In this case, my client was 12, 15 feet away from Mr. McDonald at the point in which he fired, specifically with gunshot wound number two. You're aware of that, correct?
I don't know the exact distance, but it's more than 2 feet, and the gunshot wound is to the left base of the neck.
Oh. So Would you agree that if it's more than 2 feet even, that it would be impossible for gunshot wound number two to have occurred when Mr. McDonald was lying on the ground?
Yes.
And assuming that that distance was even further, 12, 15 feet, that's absolutely clear that it couldn't have occurred when he was on the ground, correct?
Because of the direction of more or less left to right, yes.
Okay. And the entrance wound of a gunshot, that certainly indicates that the entrance wound was facing the gunman, correct?
The gun was pointing at the entrance wound,
okay.
Correct.
So gunshot wounds number two and four, your opinion would be those were when Laquan McDonald was facing Jason Van Dyke, correct?
Again, it would be when the gun is pointing at the subject.
At the point at which Jason Van Dyke fired the gun, you would agree with me that Laquan McDonald was facing Jason Van Dyke.
I cannot say if he was directly facing, was it an angle, that is why I'm saying I it's hard for me to say, it's a left to right shot.
Well, he didn't have his back to him, you can agree with me on that, right?
Yes.
He certainly wasn't at an angle, correct?
It could be at an angle because it's a left to right angle.
I understand that, but if the shots are coming, if they enter the front, a portion of that front has to be facing Jason Van Dyke when he fires, correct?
Correct. A portion of the front would be facing the gun, yes.
And it could even be the entire front, correct, based upon your review of those two shots?
It could be.
And you talked about how the multiple gunshot wounds caused the death. My question is, other than gunshot wounds number two and four, which were shot when McCormick Donald was standing up and facing Jason Van Dyke, other than the
objection, Judge, is the conclusion that two and four occurred when he was standing up.
She just testified that.
Read it back. Go back. All right. About the questions two and four. My understanding, your answer was summarized to the effect that Laquan was not on the ground when two and four were entered into. But go ahead.
If you want, then I could just ask a question.
Go ahead. That'll save time.
If Laquan McDonald was not on the ground for gunshot wounds number two and four, you would agree with me that Laquan McDonald was upright, correct?
I cannot say that. A portion of him was facing the gun. He could be turning, falling. It's hard for me to say.
Okay, fair enough. Other than gunshot wounds number two and four, was there any significant hemorrhage in the other gunshot wounds that would have caused death within 30 minutes?
There are all the other gunshot wounds go through muscle or through bone. There are injuries to the humerus on both sides, injuries to the radius ulna, injury to the rib, injury to the sacrum. So they all are serious injuries. Maybe not as serious as the wounds to the lung and the trachea, but they do contribute to the blood loss.
Okay, my question was a little bit more specific, though. My question was, other than gunshot wounds number two and four, did any of those other gunshot wounds cause significant hemorrhage that would have resulted in death within 30 minutes?
I cannot answer that. It depends on the blood vessels that were hit, at the rate of the bleeding that occurred. So there were a lot of gunshot wounds, to say if any one would have caused death within 30 minutes is hard.
Well, if somebody, you said that there's 16 gunshot wounds. You said all 16 gunshot wounds resulted in hemorrhaging?
Yes.
So if 16 gunshot wounds all resulted in hemorrhaging, and somebody were lying on the ground for 20, 25 minutes, there would be a lot of blood there, wouldn't there?
There would be blood loss at the scene. There would be blood at the scene. I cannot say how much because they can be bleeding internally.
in effect, there was in this case, correct?
There was blood in the right chest cavity that was evacuated at the hospital.
And that was blood that was caused by gunshot wound number 4, correct?
Correct.
And if those other gunshot wounds, that was blood in, it was internal bleeding, correct?
Yes.
So that blood would not be necessarily, wouldn't be shown on the ground where the body was, correct?
Correct.
So all those, well, let's take out 2 and 4. Those 14 other shots, if they cause significant hemorrhage and somebody were laying there 25 minutes, there would be a lot of blood on the ground, correct?
Again, if the person was bleeding internally, there may not be a lot of blood at the scene.
Okay, but those shots, aside from, there's no evidence in this case that there was internal bleeding from anything other than gunshot wounds number 2 and 4, correct?
There is hemorrhage documented along all the wound tracks, so there is hemorrhage internally.
Okay, and there's other hemorrhage from other gunshot wounds and from other organs aside from gunshot wound number 2 and 4. Is that your testimony, Tim?
There's hemorrhage along the path of all the gunshot wounds that were documented by the original pathologist.
Okay. And the hemorrhage, that would be, you'd be able to determine if there was hemorrhage from looking at the X-rays, correct?
The best indicator would be doing the autopsy. Hemorrhage sometimes can be noticed on the X-ray.
I'm sorry, could be what?
Can sometimes be noticed on the X-ray as maybe swelling.
Right. In fact, it's commonly noticed on the X-ray as well, correct?
It can be seen on X-ray. The best way to document or see it would be doing the autopsy.
And when they're doing the autopsy, they're taking notes, correct?
Yes.
And there's a final report prepared concerning the data collected during the autopsy, correct?
Yes.
And that's usually done sometime after the autopsy, correct?
Yes.
So the final, how long after the autopsy are those final reports normally completed?
At our office, the doctors usually dictate their findings the day of the autopsy and then proofread the report when the dictation comes back.
Okay, and fair to say that the doctors would be going off their notes when they prepare the final report, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you reviewed Dr. Means's notes in this case, correct?
Yes.
And you would agree with me that there is a box in the notes that talks about internal injury, correct? I can show you if you want.
Diagrams with me.
I'll mark this appendix 5. There would be a perfect set of the old notes, which is 3 pages. Can I approach?
Go ahead.
Take a look at this and tell me a bit. When your memory is refreshed, if you're aware of the box that has internal injuries. You see that at the bottom there?
Yes.
Okay. And that box is to document all the internal injuries that are noticed during the autopsy, correct?
These are notes that Dr. Means uses. This is a table that she uses to document the findings she saw so that she can dictate the report.
Okay. But you've seen this report in general before, not just Dr. Means, is correct?
No. most of us do not use that kind of table.
Okay. But Dr. Means did.
Yes.
Okay. And in the internal injury box, I mean, is this a report? Is it a standard report that's used by the medical examiner's office?
At the time of the autopsy, we document all the injuries and findings in different ways. Most of us just use a body diagram. Some use detailed tables to kind of document what they see.
Okay, so this is a document that Dr. Means created for her use?
Yes.
Okay. And you would agree with me, well, strike that. Would it surprise you to know that Dr. Means did not report hemorrhage for every shot in her report for the internal injuries?
No, it's just a way of documenting what you need to dictate. It's the way the doctor decides to note his or her findings.
Would it surprise you to know that Dr. Means did not note hemorrhaging for all 16 shots in here?
It is what is in the autopsy report, that is the final report. The way we document injuries depends on how the doctor does it.
But these notes are used to draft the final report, correct?
To dictate the findings for the report.
And would it surprise you to know that out of the 16 gunshot wounds that Dr. Means reports hemorrhage in shot number 2, 3, 4, 9, and that's it. 2, 3, 4, 9. 2 and 4, we've talked about the hemorrhage. Does that surprise you that every single other shot, other than 2 and 4 and 3, that there is no indication that there is hemorrhage noticed during the autopsy in her notes?
The notes don't state hemorrhage. In the gunshot wound number 1, there is thin subarachnoid hemorrhage that she notices. She notes elsewhere. So the way she makes notes of the injuries may be different, and she's not documenting everything in that table. I go off what is in the autopsy report that was signed off by the doctor, in this case, Dr. Means.
Did you see any other notes where Dr. Means indicated, other than the final report, any other notes where she indicated hemorrhage from every single shot?
There is a note where she says thin subarachnoid hemorrhage, I don't see any other place where she notes other injuries. There are documentations of all the wounds, how many inches beneath, how many inches to the right or left, and the measurements. I don't see anything else in the diagrams.
Okay, thank you. And we talked about if there was significant hemorrhage from these wounds, that would be visible at the scene, the significant blood loss, assuming that it's not all internal, correct?
It can be seen at the scene.
Then it would be seen on the clothing as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And did you ever, I know you didn't go to the scene, did you ever see photos of the scene?
Just the scene photos and video that was given later.
Okay, did it show the amount of blood that was present right after Juan McDonald was removed in the ambulance?
No, I did not see that.
Don't you think, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't show a lot of blood loss.
I don't know, Jack, as to what her thinks it showed.
You're testifying.
You're right. I withdraw that question. Gunshot wounds number 2 and 4. Did any of the gunshot wounds lead to a hemorrhage of more than 500 milliliters?
There is hemorrhage along the wound tracks. I cannot estimate as to how much blood was lost other than say there's hemorrhage along the wound tracks.
Do you have an opinion as to whether or not any of the other injuries, other than gunshot wounds number 2 and 4, whether any of those injuries caused a hemorrhage more than 500 milliliters?
No.
Okay. And you would agree with me that women that give birth typically lose 500 milliliters of blood during the childbirth?
Again, I am not an obstetrician and cannot say for sure what the blood loss is with childbirth.
You spoke about fractures that were noted in Dr. Means's report, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You would agree with me that there's no evidence that there was any hemorrhage of consequence in the record with regard to those fractures other than the fractures from gunshot wounds 2 and 4.
There's hemorrhage along the wound track that is described in the wounds that involve caused fractures.
But you would agree there's no evidence of hemorrhage of consequence in these other wounds other than 2 and 4?
There is no documentation of how much hemorrhage, even with gunshot 4, there is 40 ml of residual blood that was in the chest.
And you would agree there's no evidence that these fractures cause any damage to any internal organs other than gunshot wounds number 2 and 4, correct?
Correct. And 1, there is injury to the brain with gunshot 1.
Well, I thought your testimony was that you weren't sure if gunshot 1 was actually a gunshot.
It's a gunshot grazed wound.
I thought your testimony was that that wound number 1 could have been caused by concrete.
No, that is a gunshot grazed wound.
So there's no chance that gunshot wound number 1 was caused by anything other than a gunshot.
Correct. It's referred to as a gunshot graze wound, and photographs show it as a graze wound.
But you would agree with me that there's mistakes, honest mistakes that are made with regard to opining on something being an entrance wound and an exit wound during an autopsy, correct?
Could you repeat that?
Sure. Sometimes pathologists get it wrong when they refer to something as an entrance wound and it in fact turns out to be an exit wound.
When they do the external exam, it can happen, but when we do the internal exam, we try to figure or determine which is the entrance wound and which is the exit wound. And yes, sometimes it is difficult when the doctor will ask the other doctors in the autopsy room.
Okay. And you would agree with me that sometimes something appears to be a gunshot wound when in fact it is not a gunshot wound.
It can happen, yes.
Such as a situation where pieces of concrete come flying up and make an entry that looks like a gunshot, correct?
Concrete would not cause a wound that looks like a gunshot entrance wound, but could be like a particle or a fragment entrance.
In a number of these wounds that you analyzed were, in fact, partial fragments, correct?
Yes, especially the one on the hand, there are fragments entering around the gunshot entrance wound.
And are you aware from looking at the video that that several of the gunshots struck the concrete?
At the end of the video, it appears that there is smoke and seems like there are bullets hitting the surface.
One moment, please.
Sure. Take your time. If it's in evidence, what exhibit is it marked as?
get help of people.
Excuse me one moment. All right, no questions.
Going down to the very nitty-gritty now, as the defense for police officer Jason Van Dyke is cross-examining the medical examiner about the gruesome autopsy results we saw prior to the jury going out to lunch earlier. There were all these photos, graphic photos that were displayed uncensored in court, and the medical examiner testifying about each and every gunshot wound suffered by McDonald, 16 wounds in all, seemingly barbaric. Well, the defense trying to obviously soften that in a sense by showing that only two of the wounds were likely the fatal ones, and that they happened while McDonald was still standing and facing Officer Van Dyke.
Thank you.
The doctor, have you ever seen this photo?
No.
I'll represent to you that this is a crime scene photo that was taken shortly after Quan McDonald was taken in ambulance. You see the blood there, correct?
Yes.
I believe we have one more people exhibit. 71. 71. Have you ever seen this photo before?
No.
I'll represent it the same as what I said the last one. It's a photo just of a different angle. Looking at that, would you agree with me that that does not depict a significant amount of blood from somebody that would have been shot 16 times?
There is blood at this scene. I cannot quantify it.
Would you say, just by looking at that, that that's probably less than 100 cc's of blood?
There are mainly two pools of blood that I see. I cannot quantify the amount of blood.
Okay, but does 100 cc's, does that sound like a reasonable number to put for that scene?
I cannot opine on that.
Okay, could be more, could be less?
Correct.
Okay, nothing further.
Mr. Herbert asked you a series of questions about the presence of hemorrhaging in just a couple of the wounds. And he indicated that Dr. Reeves documented in her preliminary notes that there was hemorrhaging just in wounds 2, 3, 4, and 9. Do you recall those questions and answers?
Yes.
You have the report of post-mortem examination in front of you, correct?
Yes.
So that's the final report from Dr. Means after she completed all of the autopsy, the internal, the external, the photographs, took her notes, and then she collected all of that information and works its way into the report of post-mortem examination that you have there in front of you, correct?
Correct.
Would you go to evidence of injury on page 2 of the report?
Yes.
Go to the second paragraph under number 1, gunshot wound of the left scalp.
It says, associated with this wound, there's mild left temporal parietal subscapular hemorrhage. Thin subarachnoid hemorrhage overlies the left temporal and parietal lobes of the brain.
Gunshot wound number 2, I think it's on page 3, doctor. What is there hemorrhage associated with this wound?
Yes, it says associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Wound number 3 for hemorrhage associated with that?
Yes.
And that's documented in the report?
Yes.
Where at?
On page 4.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
On page 4, the first sentence.
Okay, would you read that?
Associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
What about gunshot wound number 4? I think it's the 1, 2, 3rd, 4th paragraph. Is that documented there as well?
Yes.
Would you read that?
Associated with this wound is an anterior fracture of the right 4th rib and an approximately 40 ml right hemothorax. There is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound number 5. I think it's on the top of page 5, 3rd paragraph. It's documented that there's hemorrhage associated with wound, gunshot wound 5 as well, correct?
Yes.
Would you read that?
For gunshot wound 5, it says associated with... there is a fracture of the distal left humerus as well as hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound number 6, I think that's documented on the top of page 6 of the report.
Yes.
She included that in her report as well, Dr. Means, correct?
Yes.
Would you read that, please?
There is also a fracture of the right humerus and hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Let's go to gunshot wound number 7. 4th paragraph.
Yes.
Is there hemorrhage associated with that wound?
Yes.
And that's documented in her report?
Yes.
Would you read what she documented?
Associated with this wound are fractures of the left radius and ulna. There is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tracts.
Gunshot wound number 8, page 7, 4th paragraph. Did she document hemorrhage about gunshot wound number 8?
Yes.
Would you read what she documented in her final report?
Associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound number 9, did she document hemorrhage and pulpification at the top of page 8 regarding gunshot wound number 9?
Yes.
Would you read what she documented and wrote in her report?
Associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
How about gunshot wound number 10, same page, 4th paragraph?
Yes.
She documented hemorrhage and pulpification in regards to that gunshot wound as well.
Yes.
Would you read what Dr. Means included in her report, please?
There are fractures of the left humerus and ulna, as well as hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
How about gunshot wound number 11? Did she document hemorrhage and pulpification regarding that gunshot wound?
Yes.
4th paragraph?
Yes.
Did you read what she included?
There is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound 12, I think it's on the top of page 10, the 2nd paragraph.
Yes.
She documented the hemorrhage to that gunshot wound number 12 as well.
Yes.
Would you read what she included in her report?
Associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound 13, a little bit lower on that page. Did she document hemorrhage and pulpification on 13?
Yes.
Would you read what she documented in her final report?
Associated with this wound are fractures of the right radius and ulna. There's hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound 14. Paragraph on page 11, I believe.
Yes.
She documented hemorrhage and pulpification on gunshot wound 14?
Yes.
To read what she documented in her report.
Associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Gunshot wound 15. I think this is at the top of page 12, 2nd paragraph.
Yes.
She documented it again, didn't she?
Yes.
Would you read what she documented?
Associated with this wound is a fracture of the sacrum as well as hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
In gunshot wound 16, did she document hemorrhage and pulpification with gunshot wound 16?
Yes.
4th paragraph, correct?
Yes.
Would you read what she documented in her final report?
Associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound tract.
Sir, I would ask you
about gunshot wound number one. He asked you about concrete. You recall that question and the answers that you gave?
Yes.
Was gunshot wound one the gunshot that went through his scalp that caused a hematoma to the brain?
Yes.
Was that caused by concrete?
This was a gunshot wound to the left scalp, referred to as a gunshot graze wound.
Also asked you about Dr. Mazikowski's report, correct?
Yes.
You have Dr. Mazikowski's report there in front of you?
Yes.
Could you turn to page 3 of Dr. Mazikowski's report, please?
Yes.
The section that's titled or captioned opinion?
Yes.
Starting with the 6th line, see where it says without? It's the beginning of a sentence, I think. If I can approach, I can show
sure.
Highlighted it.
Yes.
See that?
Yes.
Read what Dr. Mazikowski's opinion is about each of the gunshot wounds.
It says, without medical care, each of these injuries is rapidly fatal.
So that wasn't just limited to gunshot wound number 4, was it?
Yes, it was not limited to gunshot 4.
It was not limited to just gunshot wound number 2, correct?
Objection, Judge. It's a mistake in testimony. Well, you can recross, sorry. Go ahead, Doctor. You can answer.
Yes.
Dr. Mazikowski's opinion is that each and every gunshot wound, without medical care, each of these injuries is rapidly fatal.
Objection, Judge.
Overruled.
I support the evidence. Did you get a response yet?
He does state, without medical care, each of the injuries is rapidly fatal, and states initially that the subject, Laquan McDonald, died of multiple gunshot wounds, and the manner of death is homicide.
These gunshot wounds on a level of seriousness. The gunshot wound to the left, left neck and the left chest may have in fact been more serious than the other gunshot wounds. Is that fair?
Yes, it would be right chest.
I'm sorry, left neck, right chest, correct?
Yes.
But each and every gunshot wound contributed to the loss of blood and caused his death?
Yes.
Again, a moment, Judge.
Sure. While we're doing this, ladies and gentlemen, stand up a little bit. No, just my wonderful jury. All right, go ahead. All right, go ahead. There we go. And if you don't want to stand up, no, I love the independence. That's good. You don't have to. All right. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon asked you some questions, and he insinuated that Dr. Mikowski said that each of the gunshot wounds were rapidly fatal. You remember Mr. McMahon asking that question?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you have the report there, isn't that correct?
Yes.
That is a misstatement of fact, is it not?
Could you repeat that?
Sure. I'll read and tell me if I'm reading it correctly.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You know, you're not testifying here today.
Can you read for me then, under opinion, the second sentence?
The gunshot wound of the right chest injured the right lung, resulting in bleeding into the right chest cavity and difficulty with breathing.
Thank you. Can you read the next sentence, please?
The gunshot wound of the neck injured the trachea, resulting in difficulty with breathing.
Okay, can you please read the following sentence?
Without medical care, each of these injuries is rapidly fatal.
Dr. Mikowski was talking about injuries number 2 and 4 as being rapidly fatal, correct?
It seems to refer to that way. He starts off with saying multiple gunshot wounds.
Right. And you would agree with me that nowhere in this report does Dr. Mikowski say every gunshot wound was caused rapidly fatal injuries. You would agree with me on that one?
He does not state that.
That was a mistake, correct?
The evidence, the witness doesn't decide what, that's up for the jury to decide. So, just answer your questions.
Doctor, you reviewed Dr. Mikowski's report, which we've established, and you were asked questions on...
Get to the point, please. Come on, yes.
On redirect, Mr. McMahon asked you, is it conclusively true that gunshot wound number 1, shot to the head, was absolutely caused by a bullet?
Yes.
You would agree with me that Dr. Mikowski, when he reviewed his report, and it's on page 2, if you have it there, that Dr. Mikowski determined that in the footnote below, it says, the report of postmortem examination states that this wound is associated with subscapular hemorrhage. This most likely is the typographical error for the wound was subscapular. And then above it, when he describes it, he said that he opines that it was from concrete, correct?
No.
Okay.
He refers to it as a graze gunshot.
But it was there was a mistake in the report of Dr. Meeks as far as the significance of the injury.
There was a typographical error. She, in the autopsy report, says subscapular. It should be subscapular, meaning beneath the scalp. That was the error.
Okay. Fair enough. A minor discrepancy. You were asked dramatically about each shot. It wasn't included that there was hemorrhaging. That there was the wound is hemorrhage and pulpification. You remember being asked those questions?
Yes.
And that language appears in the description for every gunshot wound, correct?
It is there in all the gunshot wounds, yes.
Okay. And you would agree with me that that language is put in virtually the same section of every report for that gunshot. In other words, right at the end there, correct?
The associated injuries are after the actual description of where the injuries are located.
Right, and it's put in here at the end of every one of those descriptions. There's a more thorough description, and at the end it says, associated with this wound is hemorrhage and pulpification of the wound, correct?
Except for wound number 1.
Right. And it's the same language for all the other
wounds. I'm sorry, you're repeating the same thing. All right, so you asked it twice, I let it go. She's answered it twice, and we'll move
on. In closing here, you testified that there was over 800 homicides that the ME's office had to conduct during, I believe you said, 2014?
In 2016, we had 805. In 2014, the number was slightly less, yes.
Okay. Fair to say that that Dr. Means and any other pathologist at the ME's office, they're conducting a lot of autopsies every year, correct?
Jack, could I just be on the scope of the redirect?
I'll allow that one question and answer.
You agree with me?
The doctors perform between 250 and 300 autopsies a year, which is according to the NAMES standards.
Okay. And I imagine that in a lot of cases, there's a lot of cutting and pasting going on from one case to another case.
Objection, Judge.
No, I'll let the doctor answer that. Go ahead.
We usually dictate the findings to avoid the cut and paste.
Okay, right. And finally, you would agree with me that the notes that were conducted contemporaneously during Dr. Means' autopsy, those notes don't reflect that there was hemorrhaging from every wound, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, Judge. Thank you.
Mr. Herbert?
No, nothing.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. you can step down. Thank you very much. We're going to take a little bit of break.
All right, for the jury.
In microelectronic physics with minor mathematics and degree in electronic engineering.
And, sir, what are your duties as a forensic video examiner?
Field agents often retrieve evidence and they send it into our evidence control. I go in and check out the evidence control from evidence called the evidence. And I take it back to my laboratory and the field engineer also sends me electronic communications asking me to perform a certain task on the video, and then I perform the task that was asked me to do, and then I return the evidence along with any results of the examination back to evidence control to send back out to the field agent.
And is the lab there in Quantico for the FBI, is it certified?
Yes, it is.
And how long has it been so certified?
Since January of 2007.
And did you receive specialized training through the FBI?
Yes.
And what type of training?
As an accredited lab, we have documented training requirements that require both in-house and outside of the FBI training, and also on-the-job training monitored by a senior certified examiner.
In your 12 years since you've been with the FBI, approximately how many forensic video examinations have you concluded?
Several hundred examinations.
And have you had the opportunity to be qualified to testify as an expert in forensic video examinations in any other courts?
Yes, I have.
Approximately how many times?
I have been qualified as expert witness four times, and then I assisted a fifth time.
And was that both in state and federal courts?
Yes, it is.
And at this time, Your Honor, the state would tender to the defense Mr. Messick as an expert in forensic video examinations.
All right, I find that Mr. Mark Messick is qualified to testify as an expert in the area of forensic video examinations. Proceed, State.
Thanks. So I can show you what's significant evidence of People's Number 8. Would you look at this and tell me whether or not you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize People's 8 to be?
I recognize People's 8 to be results from my examination.
And did you receive a dash cam video from 813 Robert?
Yes, I did.
And the dash cam video that you received, did you include that on People's 8?
Yes, I did.
And then with that dash cam video, did you do an enhancement?
Yes.
Okay. One of the enhancements that you, well, strike that. On People's 8, you have basically four different videos. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The first video on there is the actual dash cam video. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And the on the second video, did you do some kind of enhancement?
Yes, I did. I was asked to bring out, do a forensic examination, and then to enhance the video to bring out details in the video. ill.
And did you end up doing that by putting some kind of, like, looks like an oval around an individual on the video?
Yes, as a mask that you put around.
You call it a mask?
It's a mask. It's called a mask.
Okay. Can you explain, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how it is that you do that?
Basically, we select an area in the video and we perform enhancements to that area.
And, I mean, how do you do the enhancement? That's what I'm asking.
We use filters to enhance it, for example, levels, which enhances the dark and white tones in the video. It also enhances the gamma tones in the video, which is where the facial tones lie. Then they do what's called an unsharp mask, which goes out and finds the edges and enhances those edges.
Did you also have occasion to enhance the video by using some kind of timer?
Yes, they asked to put a timer on the bottom of the video. Basically, the timer is like a stopwatch. Except in this case, it measures down to frames, which are 30 frames a second, so it also measures that.
So on the end of the timer, that looks like minutes, seconds, etc., correct?
Yes, the last one would be frames.
And the last one is frames.
Yes.
Now, you said there was approximately 30 frames per second in a video?
Yes.
And is that average or standard?
That's where they figure that your eye's perception of fluid motion takes place at 30 frames a second.
Now, you also were asked to do another thing to the video where you slowed it down. Is that correct?
Say again, please.
You were actually asked to see whether or not you could slow down the video?
Yes, I was asked to play it back at 1/4 speed.
And how do you do that at the lab?
It's just you actually play the video back at a slower amount of frames per second.
And how many frames per second did you do this particular enhancement?
It's approximately 7.5 frames per second.
And in the when you slow it down to that quarter speed, are you actually seeing the video as it moved, or are you seeing, like, still photography?
Well, if you took it down to one frame per second, it would be still photography. So when you slow it down, even though you're getting all the same information at a slower rate, it looks a little more choppy.
And you were able to do that to dash cam 813R, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Can I have a minute, Judge?
Sure.
Contain that timer?
No, the final did not have the timer on it.
So just two and what I would call two and three, the second and third one had a timer?
The first one also had a timer added.
And that timer is consistent in all three of those, correct?
Yes, at any point in the video, if you looked at the timer, they would correspond at the same count.
Okay. Have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So you worked on this for quite some time, right?
That's correct.
How long did you did it take you to put these tapes together?
Well, I started working on this particular case approximately 4 years ago, and field agent asked for some more information, so I continued working on it.
So it certainly took longer than 12 or 13 seconds, right?
Yes.
And when you, let me get something straight. So when you slow down these pictures, if we look at it in real time, we're looking at, or if you're looking at me now walking around, that'd be like 30.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's what they consider real-time video.
Right. So if you took, again, 13 seconds, that would be 13 times 30, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't say
that. Yeah, if you're looking at something happening in 13 seconds, you'd be looking at it at 30 pictures a second, right?
No, you're looking at 13 pictures a second.
Okay. And if you slow it down, and you said you slowed it down to 7.5, correct?
Yes.
So slowing it down would make it be seem longer, correct?
Yes, the video is four times longer.
So if you took a video that would normally be 13 seconds and slowed it down, it would be 4 times 13, correct?
If it's 13 seconds, it would be four times that, the total length.
Yeah. So if you're looking at a video that's been slowed down four times, that's not what happened out there, correct?
The information doesn't change in the video. It just played back slower.
Well, the information may not change, but how you see it, the information would certainly change.
Yes, because it, you're not perceiving, your eyes don't perceive it as fluid motion.
Exactly. How did you calculate that timer?
The timer matches the frames per second of the video, and it's all based off the first video sequence, and then the others, if you can go to the same point in the other videos, the timer would read the same.
So that timer from video one could be a little bit off from timer two, I assume, right?
No.
Could it not be? If you're looking at it, you got to pick the exact moment to synchronize that time, right?
If you see a detail in each video, and that's the exact same detail, the timer will read the exact same thing.
You say the timer will read. That's, you're not the timer, correct?
Pardon me?
Who's the timer? Is that mechanized or is that you?
The timer is a tool we place into videos to better or more accurately follow events in the video.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Could I have the attorneys over here quickly just for schedule?